It says, O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them, the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. We serve this Lord that didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, and that's just shocking. And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're talking about submitting to one another. And we have this verse in here that talks about how we need to be meek and lowly with one another, submitting to each other, living in humility with one another. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is God in the flesh, who is the exact representation of your glory, who even when he was on this earth was worthy of worship, was worthy of servants falling before him, giving their lives to him, worshiping him, and yet he could say something like that, that he had not come here to be served, but to serve God in the flesh, serving creation. What a story. May we today learn what that would take to live it out in our everyday relationships. In Jesus' awesome and holy name, all of God's kids said, amen. Hey, I'm really grateful for all of those who serve in such a variety of ways in our church. I think it's very appropriate that we got to pray for all of you who serve in our children's ministry. We are really called to serve. We're number one called to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, and then we are called to serve one another. And so there are a variety of ways in which you serve. Many of you serve behind the scenes in such a variety of ways. Some of us serve up front. And, I'm just very grateful for all of those of you who serve in such a variety of ways. I got to thank Karen and Brenda for all you did to help us celebrate Christy's graduation. It was really a fantastic party. All right, we can, clap for them. They really allowed us just to be together with our friends, and it turned out to be a wonderful reunion because my pastor came. He's been my pastor since 1980. I was in fifth grade when I first met John and Janine. And then he brought on Doug McMunn, who was associate pastor when I was a senior in high school, and Doug and Mary Ann were there. I got to serve on staff with Doug at Arise Church, where Jason was a teenager and I was his youth pastor. And then we also had Carol and David Mitchell, really close friends of ours. She was our children's minister at Arise Church. So we kind of had an Arise reunion at Christy's graduation. But it really could not have been possible to have that level of contact with our friends had it not been for those of you willing to serve in that capacity. This past week, a week and a half ago, Sam Alvarado finished up serving as our church chairman, and I want to thank him from up front. And seeing as how we have not had to replace a church chairman in 6 years, your pastor misread something in the bylaws and constitution regarding the changeover in leadership. We have two new people who are on nominations, Brenda Peterson, Cindy Pena, and then myself and Jeff Andrews are also serving on nominations. We want to receive your ideas for names, and one name would be for an elder, an elected elder for our church. Another would be who would best serve as our church chairman. And so we want to hear from you in this next week, because we're going to come together, pray over those names, and then we will put forth before you who those should be. And before the end of this month, we will have a new elder and a new church chair. Right now, Derek is serving as our vice chair, so he'll be running our meeting on Wednesday night as we get together with the elders and the council. But please be praying about that, and it really is a joy for me to be able to serve with other servant leaders in this church who are really living out Colossians 3. go home and read that, put that in your notes just so that you know what that's all about. But it really is a fun team of people to work with between the elected council and elders of our church, as well as the staff that I get to serve with. So it's really a great church, and it's a privilege for me to serve as your pastor. I had to learn something myself about submission in this past week. I have willingly put myself under someone's leadership who is much younger than I am. I have been reading about discipleship, and not only reading about it, but also learning from those who are going through a certain process to help disciples make disciples. And so David Carlson, who is also a neighbor of the Johnsons, they live right across the street from Derek and Robin and girls. But David is a part of Woodside Bible Church. He's really this connection that has made a really cool partnership between us and Woodside. Woodside's already been in and serving our church in helping to do things around the church. And a large group of them will be in August. But so David has been going through this process of learning what it means to have disciples make disciples. And again, he's a young man, and I told him early in this process, I said, listen, I want to submit myself to you in this process, because I want to learn, and I know that even at my old age of 44, right, Mom, I'm 44? Okay, because last week, I guess I was saying 45, and I forgot I always forget the middle years. And I told him, I said, listen, early in the process, I want to submit myself to you. Because what I'll be calling on other men to do would be for them to submit themselves to me as well as we all submit ourselves to the Lord. And Michelle likes to bike to work to Westland. It's only about a 3 to 4 mile bike ride to Westland, to the school that she's a librarian at. And it was Monday morning. And so I usually get together with David and some other guys from the community in this huddle. And I told David that I wasn't going to be able to stay as long. I had to go because I had to take Rebecca to school. David called me up on that Sunday evening and said, you know, Johnny, when you committed to this, you really committed to being together with us for that full time. And, outwardly and vocally, I'm saying, okay, you're right, David. But inwardly, I'm going, you are 26 years old. I am 44. You have been married for, let's see, maybe 2 years. I've been married for 19, so I kind of know what I need to do for my wife to keep her happy. And so inside I'm kind of wanting to tell him off. You know, you've been in ministry for how long? And I've been in ministry for most of my life now. I got to get off the phone with him, and I'm still doing some yard work, and the Lord starts talking to me. Hey, Johnny. Yeah, Lord. You remember that commitment you made to him, right? Yeah. Yeah, that still stands, right? Yes, Lord. And so I had to realize that though I was submitting to him vocally, I wasn't really doing it from the heart, which is something that this passage brings up. Living in submission to one another is not easy. In fact, it's impossible if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Our willingness to submit to one another is a sign of our being filled with God's presence, which is where we have been at in the passage leading up to this in chapter 5. The foundation for where we are going in Ephesians chapter 6 is really found in the previous chapter, where Paul was talking about this command to be filled, and it's a command that is present day. It's present tense. You're filled on a daily basis. It's almost the prayer that we pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's what we need for today. It's the manna that we receive on a daily basis. And so, and it's imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. But then it's continuous. And so we need daily to open ourselves up to God's presence, to submit ourselves to him and to open ourselves up to him and say, Lord, I can't live this day without you. I need you. I desperately need you. And that you would daily be filled with his presence. Well, one of the manifestations of God showing up in and through us. It's really one of four that we took a look at in the past couple of weeks. Well, one would be that we are speaking to one another on a deeper level. Speak to each other in hymns, songs, and spiritual songs, and making music in your heart to the Lord, that you have a heart of worship. And another sign of you being filled with the Holy Spirit would just be a sense of gratefulness, that you can give thanks to the Lord in all things all the time, which is, as you know, is impossible without God. Because there are some things in life that come up, and it's like, I don't know if I can give you thanks for this one. But we find that when we live with a sense of gratefulness because of God's presence living inside of us, it makes life go so much better. And then the last one was submitting to one another out of a deep sense of reverence for Jesus Christ. And that word in the Greek, in terms of this, what does it really mean to be submitted to one another and submitted to God? It comes from two Greek words. And the first word, it's an ancient military term, which means to designate or appoint someone to a certain post. So just as a commanding officer would appoint someone to a certain post, and that someone would have to follow the directions of that commanding officer, what happens in submission is that we, out of our reverence for Jesus Christ, are submitting ourselves. We are actually placing ourselves in position almost as a commanding officer, commanding ourselves, positioning ourselves to be submitted to Jesus Christ as well as to one another. And so we have this command that we would, and a sign, a manifestation, how the Holy Spirit shows up is that we would submit to one another out of a deep sense of reverence for Jesus Christ. So what you do is you place yourself under someone else's authority out of a deep reverence for Christ. It's an expression of worship. So your relationships with others in the body of Christ are directly related to your relationship with Christ. And so you submit yourself, as Jeff pointed out last week, out of phobos. This is where we get the word phobia, out of fear of Christ. And it's only twice that we find in all of the scriptures that put this fear linked together with Christ. We have numerous times throughout the scriptures where it's fear of God. But it's only here in Ephesians in 5:21 and then in 6:5 is this link that we would follow through on this out of a fear of Christ, out of a reverence, a deep sense of reverence for Jesus Christ. And so the evidence of our being filled with the Holy Spirit shows up in our key relationships around us. It, Jeff talked about wives submitting themselves to their husbands and wives submitting to their husbands and having a deep respect for them as to the Lord. And you'll find as you're reading chapter 5 and chapter 6, he brings this up a lot, as to the Lord. Do this in the Lord, as to the Lord. We titled this series In Him because it's all about doing life in Jesus, through Jesus, by Jesus. And so, and then husbands would love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And so, what we do for one another always points us back to Jesus. Husbands daily giving up their lives for their wives. Give yourself up for her. Love her. Sanctify her. Set her apart as special. Cleanse her through the washing of water through the word. Present her in glory without spot or wrinkle. Our love for one another, but especially in our marriage relationships, ought to have this sense that it is helping husbands, it is helping our wives grow closer to Jesus Christ. And that we as husbands would love our wives and care for them as we care for our own bodies, that we nourish and cherish her. And so that same submissive attitude is not only worked out in marriage, but it's also worked out in four other relationships, and this is where we are going this morning. It's in how children relate with their parents, how fathers raise their children, how we relate to those who are over us, in authority over us, how we relate to those who are under our authority. And so this is kind of the movement of this text this morning, and I'll read a little bit and then teach a little bit. So first off, how we obey or honor our parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And then there's this little parenthetical phrase where Paul quotes the number 5 of the 10 commandments, where he says that, and this is a commandment with a promise, he says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What Paul is referring to is Exodus chapter 20, which is where you find the first set where Moses is teaching on the Ten Commandments. We have a reteaching of that in Deuteronomy. Paul will teach on our relationships also in Colossians chapter 3. And so when God speaks to children, in all of these instances, he tells them that children, you need to obey and honor your parents. And I think there's probably no greater quality that parents can instill in children than this, than obedience and respect and honor of authority. Because, I mean, check out what's going on in our society now, right? Where it starts in our home. Because if children don't get this right in the home, guess where else it's going to show up? It'll show up at school. It'll show up at work. It'll show up in society. It'll show up in how you honor and respect police and others who are in authority. Where children do not learn to live in submissive obedience to parents, they will do the same things with teachers, principals, bosses, and government. And now nowadays, our culture wants this text to read like this. Parents, obey your children. And then they'll be happy and you can be their buddies. Isn't that wonderful? We can be best friends with our kids. You know, I love the closeness that we have with our girls. But the Lord has not called me to be best buddies of my girls. When I die and go to heaven, he is not going to hold me accountable to how I was at being a best bud to my girls. He's going to hold me accountable to this stuff and whether or not I taught them how to obey, respect, and honor those who are in authority over them. And, you know, there have been problems that you might think, okay, well, but I've been doing what I need to do as a parent, and it seems like they're still living in disobedience and disrespect. And just think about God as the perfect father, and yet even his first children disobeyed. So obedience is learning to bring your will into subjection to what is right, and obedience is right. It's a right thing to do, especially when you obey those who are in authority, and you do so, oh, look at that, in the Lord. It's always in him. And so ever since the very beginning, when Adam and Eve disobeyed, they were blaming each other, they were blaming God, they were going into hiding, their kids started killing each other, order breaks down, and we have to realize that the kingdom of God, there's an order in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a democracy. You know, if people were to vote on whether or not Johnny ought to be saved, I'm thinking that they would have voted that down. Right? There's a king, you know, there's an order to God's kingdom, and it's about us living in that order. And Jesus himself was very willing and submissive to be obedient to his Father. And so we are taught here that all children must obey and honor and respect their fathers and their mothers. And this one singular action that we as children can do for our parents, and in honor of God and worship of God, there's actually a blessing attached to that. You see, if you live in obedience to your parents, you'll live well and you'll live long. When you submit to your parents by obeying them, you will live well and live long. There's a sense of quality of life and there's a sense of quantity of life. You do what I say and you'll have a higher quality of life. You do what I say, I'll let you live, right? You don't do what I say, and you'll find that your quality of life will go down. I will say this, that things go better in our home where there is a sense of honor and respect and obedience. And then we can be close, and we can be cutting up and laughing like crazy around the dinner table, but where there's a sense of disrespect and dishonor and disobedience, man, It's tense, right? All of you have been there. You've been there, done that. And so, children, if you obey, if you have parents who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have parents that are wanting to submit themselves to Jesus Christ and live under his submission, get on your knees and thank God for that. Thank God that they are motivated by that, because there are so many parents out there that do not have that kind of motivation. It's interesting, I was just thinking about Jesus and how in Luke chapter 2, he is seen as a teenager willingly submitting himself to Joseph and Mary. And I could just imagine that, you know, Mary saying, Yeshua, you know, his Hebrew name, I want you to be in before dark. Jesus didn't say, I created the heavens and the earth. I'm just going to make it sunshine for another 2 hours. He didn't. And check this out. Were Joseph and Mary perfect parents? God didn't command us to submit, to honor, to respect our parents because they're perfect. How many of you have perfect parents? I mean, sorry, Mom. I mean, she wasn't perfect, but I love her to death, you know? I'm not perfect. Michelle's not perfect. But God did not call us to be submissive, to honor, to respect our parents because our parents were perfect. These are the authorities that God has placed in our lives, and we learn honor, respect in the home first, and then it begins to go into other areas of our lives. Let's take a look at this second one, how fathers raise their children. It's interesting, verse 4 doesn't say fathers and mothers. He's actually directing this to fathers. I could actually put this off until next week, and this could be our Father's Day passage. But he is saying, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Some of you have fathers. What other translations are there that you've got out there in that? Do not exasperate your children, right? Fathers, don't exasperate your children. That's mom's job. No, just just kidding. But don't provoke them to wrath. Don't provoke them to anger. What's interesting is that in this society, the oldest living male was the authority in the house. It's interesting how in our society, you know, once you start having kids, we start thinking that grandparents should not have a say in what we're doing or in what our children are doing. You know, what God had set up was that there was this order of authority, and that even if you had a great grandfather, you would love, honor, respect, obey the great grandfather in the family just as you would your own father. And so fathers were to bring their children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So there are two things here. Fathers, raise your children with a sense of discipline. Fathers, raise your children in the instruction of the Lord. So not only does respect and honor and obedience, respect of authority, move from the home and into the school and into work, this is something that also works itself out as well. Discipline. Self-discipline. Work ethic. Having a strong work ethic. If your children growing up thinking that you are always going to clean up after them, straighten up after them, take care of their dishes, do their laundry, make them lunches. I'm sorry, I think if you're making your high school kids lunch, I don't know, man, you gotta start giving them some kind of responsibility around the house so that when they grow up, they have a sense of responsibility. Man, my poor dad, he was all excited when he could make eggs, because he had in his house, he had, you know, he had his mom, he had his grandma. My great grandfather passed away at the age of 44, and so he had his mom, he had his grandma living with him, and so he had all these, you know, moms around the house, and they were taking care of him, and he didn't have to do anything. Man, he had a hard time making ice, you know. I don't know, but you know, he was all excited. I was staying with them during the summer between terms, and Dad was excited that he made eggs, and I was like, okay, great, Dad. And you know, it took him 6 eggs to make 2, you know. But we have to instill in our children this sense of discipline and work ethic. We need to raise them with a sense of discipline, because check this out. My job is to raise responsible adults, not independent 30-year-old children. too much of that going on nowadays. We need to raise our children to be young adults, to grow up, to do things around the house. So, they're going to have homes of their own. They better learn how to do a shopping list and go out and shop for themselves and do their own laundry and make meals and whatever it might be. But we have to give them a sense of discipline. But then, fathers, raise your children in the instruction of the Lord. And the Lord was talking to me about this week too. It's like, Johnny, okay, you're pastoring your church. What are you doing to pastor your house? Oh, sorry, Lord. I'm in his strength trying to live it out as best as I can as a man in my home. But in terms of actually pastoring my children and bringing them up in the instruction of the Lord and having our own Bible study and, you know, just it being together and praying together, that's been something I haven't been doing in a while. And that's something I want to get back to. But he says, fathers, raise your children in the instruction of the Lord. Be pastors of your own children. Fathers, you know, if we do, we can do such a great thing when we raise our kids to be responsible for themselves, to have this sense of self-discipline, but we also do such a great thing when we teach them how to read the Word for themselves, how to dive into the Word and just ask questions of it and get into a relationship of God. And then that, you know what, that means that we as fathers also need to be under our Lord's instruction. See, don't exasperate your children, but raise them up with a sense of discipline and a working knowledge of the Word of God. You fathers, train them to have a strong work ethic. Expect them to do things around the house. Fathers, instruct them in the Lord and get instructed in the Lord yourself. I was reminded of what Joshua said. You remember this phrase? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Love that. The third way in which this relates, the Holy Spirit showing up in our lives, is that it is in relation to how we relate with those over us. Jesus said, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord. Work as if you're working for the Lord and not for men, knowing that whatever good thing that each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So God says, be obedient. Servants, slaves, employees, sometimes you feel like you're a slave to your boss some days, but honor, respect, and obey those who are in authority over you. And this is, again, it's something that we learn in the home. But there will be a direct correlation to your respect of the authority at school and at work if you are living in authority with those under your own roof. Yield to those in authority over you and do it with sincerity of heart. You know, some people are like, they only work when they see the boss around, right? And it's almost like they have this radar. They know when the boss is going to come in through the door, and it's like, oh, I'm busy now, and I'm going to start working. You know, and you're looking at them and going, if you worked that hard when the boss shows up all the time, can you imagine what we would get done? And I'm sure you've got people around you, and that just drives you crazy. Because a lot of times you end up picking up their slack, right? We find what happens in the home also happens at work. And here what he is saying is this: work as if you are working, there's that phrase again, for the Lord in him. Work as if you are working for the Lord and not for men. Do what you do, whether it's homework, whether it's getting your assignments in, whether it's tests that you're taking, whether it's the project that you got going on at Ford right now, whether it's teaching students at school, whatever it might be, don't do it for anything else other than worship, as an expression of worship to the Lord from the sincerity of your heart. Yes, Lord. So do what you do to the Lord as a service to the Lord, and here's what you will find. I get it. There are some of you who are in a line of work right now, and you can't stand it. There are many of us who are in a line of work that we are doing it and we just can't stand it. Praise God when you can be in a line of work and you don't feel like you're at work. You feel like you just love going to work. You love getting there and you love the people that you're serving with. But, you know, whether you love it or not, you do it as if you're doing it for the Lord and not for men, and it becomes an expression of worship. And I even wanted to challenge you students as well. You know, you might be thinking, math, when am I going to use that, right? Or, you know, science, you know. But just think of it not just as a topic, but use it as, wow, God created the universe with order, and I get to learn the order of God's universe. It's not just history, it's not just government, but I get to learn what it means that when people live in outright rebellion to God, I get to learn what it means to see how history is just has this proof after proof after proof of people and nations just royally messing up because they didn't submit themselves to God. So I want you to think about this as well. You know, we took, in a sense, took a look at Jesus submitting himself to his earthly parents, but I want you to think about, do you remember at what age Jesus entered, in a sense, full-time ministry? 30. We have in the earlier chapters of the Gospels, we do find out that at the age of 12, you know, that Jesus submits himself to his earthly parents. You remember what line of work he and Joseph were in?
Carpentry.
How many of you love working with wood and, yeah. But that's what they did. But just, I want you to think about this. Jesus was crucified at the age of 33. He had 3 years, maybe 3.5 years of public ministry. That means that when he was baptized by John the Baptist, and John is like, oh, no, you should be doing this for me. I shouldn't be doing this for you. And the Lord's saying, no, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And you remember what happened at that time? Jesus is baptized. He comes up out of the water. John kind of sees this something. It's, you know, and we the writers are saying it's the Holy Spirit, but it's almost the symbol of a dove. And then Jesus hears a voice, and we have it recorded. This is my son, whom I am well pleased. You realize at that point, Jesus had not done one miracle, had not preached one sermon. He, for the first, okay, let's say from 12 to 30 years, was working in his father's, earthly father, carpenter shop. Never put in a shoddy door jamb. Crooked window. Never build somebody in a shady way. The Heavenly Father said, this is my son who I'm well pleased. And we don't even have anything recorded about what happened between 12 and 30. And yet, this relationship that God had with his son, he says, I am well pleased with him. All of that was being done without anybody looking. I love that. Love it. It's so important. Who are you in private? Who you are in private is so important. Okay, so let's go on. How masters relate with those who are under them. It's interesting. He says in verse 9, masters, do the same things to them. What? Do the same things. What do you mean? Well, you go back up and you're talking about honor and you're talking about respect and submission. You mean, what do you mean that I need to do the same things? Have that same attitude, that same submissive attitude. All of you have worked for people that you loved working for because they were not only about doing the work in a quality way, but they really cared about you. And all of you have been in certain situations where you know, you are trying to enjoy your work, but this boss is just driving you nuts, right? And the Lord says that we need to submit ourselves to them as well. So bosses do the same things that we ought to do as children do with parents, or as fathers do in raising their children, or as employees do in submitting themselves. Live with that same kind of attitude. Care for those around you. Be more about the person than about the project. Can you do both at the same time? I think you can. I was thinking back to a job that I had. It was I was a freelance writer when I was living in Pinckney. in Jason's neck of the woods. And when my dad came here to Oakwood Hospital to begin treatments for leukemia, about 4 or 5 days out of the week, I would travel from Pinckney to be here, and I would spend at least one night a week at the hospital. And I got in his room just in time for him to open up a card. He had cards all over the room, and just in time to open a card up, and he was like, "Oh my word!" I was like, "What, Dad?" And I was just reading what he had told me. He said, "I was really having a rough day today, not wanting to get out of bed and go and take a walk. And in order to keep up his energy, my dad would just go from the one side of the hall to the other side of the hall. And because he was a Ford engineer, he knew how many times he had to walk the hall to get a mile in, you know. And so, you know, in order to keep up his energy, he would go for these walks. And so he said, this one morning, he didn't want to get up out of bed. And he was remembering his hike on Pikes Peak. He would love to go into Colorado. And he said, there were times when I would be walking a path only a foot or two wide with a 1,200-foot drop-off to one side. Like, thinking, Dad, you're nuts. And he said, I would stop getting nervous about pressing on, but then I'd pray that God would get me through the next step, and he did. I gained enough strength to get through that narrow pass until I would reach the next one. And he told me, I had one of those experiences today. I prayed for the strength, the mental strength that it took to get out of bed and take my walk. And God gave me the strength to get through this mountain pass and then gave me the encouragement through that card. The card had this mountain scene and it had some sayings in it regarding, you know, mountain passes and that kind of thing. And I just thought about that for a second. You know, here my editor, you know, she would get on me if I was late on getting a story in, as I would expect, right? She's got to hold me accountable. But she not only cared about the project that needed to get done, she also cared about me, cared about what I was going through, and cared about what my family was going through enough to have the rest of the staff of that newspaper sign a card and send it to Dad without me knowing. As a boss, as someone who works over others, maybe you're a project leader, is there something that you could do to care for those around you as you are going about doing what you need to do at Ford or Visteon or wherever you work? You're one high school. Can you work for the Lord? Can you work for man as if you were working for the Lord? Can you, as masters, do the same thing in terms of how you care for those around you? If you find any of this difficult, know that it is. In the natural, it's going to be difficult, so we need God's supernatural presence to help us do that. Because if you're thinking, okay, I'm going to obey my parents, and then something comes up and go, what we need to do is pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to love my wife like Christ loves the church. And then something comes up and you go, okay, I'm going to pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Something happens at work. I mean, whatever situation you're in, pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit so that you can relate on these levels with those around you. I want to invite the praise team up and allow this to be an invitation to you. I give you my heart. Do you give Jesus Christ your heart today that he may do in your heart what he needs to do so that you can begin to love those around you in this way?